You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I'm Jay Zawoski, joined by Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. I was rushing through it.
Off to a great start.
Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi.
Joseph Sharchevsky.
Mario sprinted here.
Yeah.
From his parking spot.
Sprint is a loose term.
Yeah. Well, compared to anything I would do, it's a sprint.
The quads and hamstrings are a little tight still from Monday night's game, but it was a brisk walk.
Yeah, bit of a difficult day for everybody, I know, and sports always sort of takes a back seat when we have things that happened in Texas yesterday. We want to definitely take some time to acknowledge at least 19 dead after an elementary school shooting, and I didn't really know, and I still don't know how this is going to go for me. This conversation, and it's not going to be the whole show. We're going to get to our Blackhawks player evaluations. We're going to talk playoffs. Don't worry, but we'd be negligent if we didn't take a second to say something. And I'm the father of an 11-year-old daughter. Just turned 12, actually, 2 days ago. I am the softball coach of many girls that age, and it's just another day where I'm like, should I be sending her to school today? And it's really hard. It's really difficult to think of those parents in this time, of those siblings in this time, and those grandparents and aunts and uncles who feel so helpless, who are getting news as the day's going on, or they're driving to the school and they hear about what happened, and just with their hearts in their throats. And I don't know. There's no point in getting political because everyone is so divided. But I think when you look at what the people that live in this country want, the vast majority of the people that live in this country want some sort of change, some sort of reform, and it has to happen. It's like, when is it going to be enough is the question I constantly ask myself. And was yesterday not enough? Does that have to be 25, 30, 35, 40, 45? Like, what's the number where the people that we have elected to lead this country actually decide to lead and do something? And it's not, you know, it's just, there's so much that needs to change. You know, maybe it starts with campaign reform where you can't accept money from lobbies or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just know what we're doing now is not working, and I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. Steve Kerr said it more eloquently than I ever will, but as the father of a 12-year-old who's a few years away from going to a massive high school in Homewood Flossmoor, I can't tell you, there's not a week that goes by that I don't worry about how she's going to be and how those 4 years at a giant school like that are going to go with children going through mental health issues, not getting treatment, angry, the country's divided. You know, it's just, it's really scary. And now what we're hearing, like the long-term effects of the isolation of COVID, which was the right thing to do for the health and safety of everybody, there's mental health problems from there, and children are not maturing socially as much anymore. So that's another added layer of the terror. So I'm just rambling on, but all I got to say is, as a parent, as an uncle, as a cousin, I'm terrified and I'm pissed, and it's time to do something. Someone's got to do something. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I echo what Jay says regarding, you know, what needs to happen. in this country. I think, I have a 7-month-old daughter, and my wife and I have already had discussions of, you know, what would we want to do for schooling? Because it's not safe. We've, as a country, have not learned in 23 years since Columbine. And it's schools, it's colleges, it's churches, temples, synagogues, grocery stores, movie theaters. What is safe? And I know that the term of feeling numb to it is something that people are experiencing. And to me, it is the fact that it's not new, and it's not isolated incidents. It's the norm in this country to hear of a massive shooting.
Yep.
And the changes that need to be made have not been made. The priorities of people in this country and politicians in this country need to change. We cannot prioritize power and money and guns over people's lives, over children's lives. Like you said, Jay, I don't know what is the tipping point, but in my mind, there have been thousands of tipping points.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of it. I'm very angry. I know this is a hockey podcast. We will get to it. But if I'm being honest, I couldn't give a shit about hockey today.
Yeah.
But we have a job to do, and we will do it.
Yeah.
But it's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. And yes, I know the Stick to Sports is coming out, but you know what? We have a platform, and we have a responsibility that when something like this continue, like we can't even process the last tragic loss of life before the next one comes. I'm not a parent. I don't have children. I can't imagine what everybody else in this room woke up feeling. I'm the only one sitting in this office right now without a child. Part of the reason I don't have children is because I don't want to bring a child into the world like this, a world that doesn't give a shit about them. Schools are supposed to be where children go to be safe, and they can't even do that anymore because we have quote-unquote leaders that care more about their money and their power. They don't give a shit about your children's safety. They don't care about yours. I don't care about your rights to own anything. Children have a right to go to school and be safe and come home.
Yep.
African Americans have a right to go grocery shopping without being murdered. People have a right to go to concerts, movie theaters, their houses of worship, nightclubs, anywhere they want without the fear of being mowed down by a military-grade weapon. Enough. Enough. I'm tired of it all. But here we are. The cycle repeats itself. Tragedy happens. Our leaders fawn outrage for 24 hours, and then they move on to blame the other side for something that really doesn't matter.
Yeah. I saw Dick Durbin today, who is a politician I actually have some respect for. He's done a good job for Illinois, for the most part, say, well, we really can't do anything until the memorial recess is over. What?
Yeah.
No. What are you talking about? Do it right now.
Screw your recess. You should have done it 15 years ago. Yeah. You should have done it. You should have done it after Sandy Hook. It keeps happening, and it's going to keep happening because you know what? As you both said, and I agree, I don't know what the right answers are, but I know doing nothing is not the right answer.
And you look around the world, and you know, people say, well, gun laws aren't going to help anything. Look at there's strict gun laws in Illinois and Chicago, yada, yada. But it's not surrounding. The surrounding states don't have those laws.
Right.
But you look at other countries that have had mass shootings, and they immediately adapt, and they immediately see a change.
Yep.
Whatever's happening, I don't have the answer. I'm not a politician. I'm a hockey podcaster, okay? I, for the most part, try to stay in my lane. But when my 12-year-old daughter is impacted by these political decisions, when she comes home from school and says, oh, we had another stranger in the building drill today. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
My 12-year-old daughter has to learn how to bar a door. She has to learn how to hide in a corner. She has to learn how to communicate with police that are walking through the hallways after a mass shooting and how to tell if it's a real police officer or a shooter. This is what my 12-year-old has to do in school.
And the worst part is we've gotten to the point where now this has been happening so long that the mass shooters have gone through those drills when they were in school.
Exactly.
So
yep,
something's got to change. Yes, we're going to get to hockey, but there's no way we can walk into this morning and not talk about this. And if it's something you guys are uncomfortable about hearing about, that's good.
Yeah. Because
the time for comfort is
over. It's
time
to get uncomfortable. Yep.
And if you don't want to get uncomfortable, then you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. It's time to figure this out. I'm sick to death of reading about innocent children, innocent people trying to live their life and getting killed for no reason. It's disgusting and it's heartbreaking. I'm angry. I'm sad. I don't know if I should throw up or punch a wall or do both at the same time. It's just terrible. So, you know, that's where we stand. It felt a little better to say these things.
Yeah.
I appreciate our bosses, Jake and Kevin and Brandon in Denver, for allowing us to use our platform to say what we want. They are supportive in all this, and it is very appreciated on this end, this side of the camera, to know that the other side of the camera has our backs and gives us this platform. So I think that's a good stopping point, and we should get on to hockey, as I'm sure half of our audience is screaming at us right now.
As I used to say, to start every Madhouse podcast, let's drop the puck.
All right. Sounds good.
Why don't we start with the playoffs from last night, and then we'll get into our player evaluations on the back end. We're going to evaluate Dylan Strome's season and Riley Stillman's seasons in the second half of the show. But another good night. I mean, look, every night of the Stanley Cup playoffs is good. You know, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's the best teams in the world going at it. The Rangers win. They looked really damn impressive last night. Shesterkin was making incredible saves. He looked like the guy who was the goalie for the Rangers in a regular season. And Greg and I were talking before the show, when the Rangers' big guns show up, they're really hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been too many games where they have not been visible. Last night, that was not the case. Kreider and Zibanejad and Shesterkin were all great. Adam Fox had a really good game, too. I've been impressed with the Rangers in the series. I don't think a lot of people gave them much of a chance. I still think Carolina will probably pull off the series. I just think they're a better, deeper team.
They're going to have to win a road game.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
Nice. Eventually.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I've been really impressed with how the Rangers have come out and played this series. And for the majority of the game last night, they were the aggressors. They were the team with the edge. They were the team dominating and dictating the play. So good for them. Good for the Rangers, man. And I got to say, too, aesthetically, that game last night was beautiful.
Yeah.
The Rangers' home uniforms are top-notch.
And there's something about the lighting there that makes the colors pop a little more.
Yeah. It seems like it's just a little bit brighter. I mean, hey, it's Madison Square Garden, right? Like, you know, maybe it's just the allure of the stadium that, you know, it radiates off the ice or whatever, but it's been a good series. You know, I think we all picked Carolina, but it's not to say that the Rangers are not a quality team. They're in the second round for a reason. They do rely a little bit heavily on their top players, but those are some those are some top players that you can, when push comes to shove, if they can, you know, put a game onto their shoulders like they did last night, it's a dangerous Rangers team. And Shesterkin in net playing the way that he did and being that Vezina caliber goaltender could steal this series.
Sure.
It could happen.
Yeah. And as Design Love pointed out here, they played well at 5-on-5. That's the key for them. They've struggled all season. And in the postseason a lot, too, in that Penguins series. They struggled at 5-on-5. They've played really well 5-on-5 the entire series. But the one guy that I'm going to give the shout-out to is Mika Zibanejad. These last two games, he's a beast when he wants to be.
Yeah.
And he needs to do that, bring that every night. And when he does, he took that team on his shoulders in game three and willed the first couple goals of that game. He is very underrated player. You know, a lot of people, when he got that big contract in New York, were like, what are you doing? Well, when he plays like he has the last two games, he's worth every penny of that deal and deserves it. You know, he's got to bring that every night. And, you know, when he does, he's been the best player on the ice the last two nights. And the Rangers need that for two more wins in this series. If they get that, you know, I picked Carolina in six, but they got to figure something out here. They got to provide, they got to figure out a way to get pucks behind Igor. They got to figure out a way to win a damn road game. Like, they're 0-5 on the road. Eventually,
you have to win one.
You're going to have to do it at some point. Now, if they go on to the next round, they'll have home ice, I believe, so they can still, but, you know.
But it's Tampa.
At some point, you got to win a road game. And they really were never in it last night. Last night was not the game to do it. And the game three was closer score-wise, but they really weren't in that game a whole lot either. So they got to figure out how to get the jump on the Rangers at home, but at the Garden. But more importantly, they got to figure out how to pull out game five.
They've looked a little sleepy this series.
Yeah, and that's surprising with their coach.
Right,
He is one
of the least sleepy players ever.
Yeah, and one of the least sleepy coaches. Yeah. You know, he's got to be going crazy watching these performances. So it's very uncharacteristic of this team.
After the first goal, they showed Brindamore, and he was just like, deep sigh, head shake on the bench. Just you could see he's frustrated. You could see that he's, I don't know, I don't want to say out of answers. That's hyperbole, but he's just like, boy, like, you know, we should be doing better than we're doing. But that is, I think I underestimated the Rangers a little bit. Because, like we said, when their star players are their star players, if you go, like, star to star, comparing to Rangers and Hurricanes, the Rangers probably have an edge in terms of stars.
Yeah.
Hurricanes are deeper, but the Rangers have more high-end players, and they've got the goalie advantage. So something to keep an eye on as the series goes on. Also, Jason brings up a good point in the chat. He says, can we talk about what seems to be a long history this season of dangerous Trouba hits? He's had a lot this year.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are like, you know, you're kind of like, okay, I could see maybe that's a penalty, maybe here and there. But
when
it's
they keep
been a lot
with
him.
The same guy in the same fashion.
Yeah.
There's a trend there.
He's towing the line. He is mastered of towing the line of dirty and legal. But that's a fine line. And at some point, karma's going to catch up to him. That's all I'm going to say.
Like you said yesterday, karma's undefeated. It's just what bugs me about it is, and it's very similar to Tom Wilson. Not that he's that level.
No,
don't get me wrong. I'm just saying he's too good of a player to keep putting himself in the penalty box, getting himself suspended. Jacob Trouba's a really good player.
Yeah,
they need him on the ice. We talked about Stan Mikita last week, realizing, wait a minute, if I stop being a jag on the ice and I'm on the ice more good things are going to happen. Yes, you're a really good player. It's important. Like, finish your checks by all means. Play physically by all means, but don't go chasing hits and don't go chasing waterfalls. Don't do that either.
That's two important lessons.
Yes,
thanks, Jay. Left Eye Zawaski. Good advice. <Thank you.
laughs> Listen, I'm not an NHL player. Breaking news.
Yet.
still got those tryouts lined up. But, you know, I've played enough contact sports, hockey, football, you know, whatever. There's ways to hit people in which you're not leading like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a common theme with Trouba in these hits is that he's hitting people like this with his
elbow.
Yeah,
the chicken wing.
There's just ways not to do that.
That's the Perron.
Yeah, right.
We had a comment in here from Michael about what did you think of David Perron's hit on Kadri. We covered that yesterday's podcast, so feel free to check that out.
Be more specific. The one that almost decapitated him.
But
the same thing.
We threw David Perron under the bus. I flat out said he does not deserve to play another game this postseason. Those are the exact type of plays that the quote players Department of Player Safety is looking to outlaw, and yet they just say, find the change in your couch cushions and send that us and we'll let you keep doing it because it's the playoffs. So, you know, Trouba, good player, likes to toe that line, crosses that line. So, you know what, when he's on the other end of one of those hits, and he's the one lying on the ice spitting out teeth, it's gonna be hard to feel any sympathy for him.
Look,
you reap what you sow. Yeah. Eventually he's gonna be on the other end of one of those hits, and you're gonna be like, oh boy, that's too bad.
Players that play physically are going to have a number of those in their career, right? It's just gonna happen.
Right.
Brent Seabrook had some unfortunate hits. Like, the list goes on and on, right? We've seen them.
Yeah, it's a fast sport.
It is a fast sport. It's a physical sport. But when it's night after night after night, the same guys, the same list, the same, you know, the same trends, then you got to take a look at it. You got to evaluate it because, again, they need him on the ice. Jacob Troop is a really good player and should not just be spending most nights in the penalty box. Play physical by all means. And, yeah, once or twice a season, you're going to have a hit you don't like. Fine, you know. Not intentional, but it's become a trend, and that's a little bit troubling. By the way, speaking of high-end talent.
Wait, can we? I got to break in here.
Oh.
So, Greg, you just called Jay Left Eye. Mm-hmm. Who's T-Boss and who's Chili between you two?
Mm-hmm. This is a very good question.
It is a very good question.
I think we should take that to the interweb.
T-Boss is very close to Tirabassi.
That's what I was thinking.
There you go.
But I didn't want to default Chili to Greg, but I mean,
well, you know, she's like
that works.
She's like the sexy one of that group. So
that is,
you know,
true.
I think it fits. I think it fits.
I don't think there's any question. It's Greg then.
All right.
I just wanted to make sure.
Can you get us?
We'll
captions above the screen.
Yeah, right.
Our little nameplates. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Lawrence, for correctly identifying the three of us as TLC.
There we go.
By the way, just a little aside. Every time I hear TLC, I think of the movie The Other Guys. Not a lot of people have seen. It's Will Ferrell. It's Mark Wahlberg. It totally bombed in theaters.
Michael Keaton
is fantastic. It is one of the funniest movies. I love it. Every time it's on, Shawshanked by it.
It's
if
good.
You've not seen The Other Guys, throw it on your streaming service. It's a good hour and a half, and you'll laugh. It's great. It's really funny. All right. Anyway, back to my segue. Speaking of high-end talent, the Oilers lead the series 3-1.
Surprising.
And, man, you had some goalie adventures.
Oh, my God.
In that game. You had Jacob Markstrom doing his Mike Smith impression just to start the game. What was it, 28 seconds into the game? Just fumbles the puck behind the net. And then Mike Smith later in the game gives up the tying goal. Was it tying goal?
Yeah, it
was.
Yeah.
The tying goal from the opposite blue line.
Feet. Tying goal, shorthanded from 132 oh feet.
And he just does the palms up like,
he immediately blames his defenseman. What the hell?
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, what do you mean, what am I doing? He shot it from the other blue line.
Yeah.
I thought, oh my God, the series is over. Because I thought Calgary's going to come back and win this game. And it's, boom, Mike Smith is going to cost the Oilers again. He still might.
Underestimate.
They still have to win one more game.
There's time.
Jacob Markstrom pulled the Mike Smith, and then Mike Smith said, "Hold my beer."
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna
wait a minute.
That's
the original.
My job.
I'm the original Mike Smith.
Ruin the game for your team. That's my job.
Flames are in trouble though. I mean, they were a team that we have sang the praises of for the last couple weeks here, and they're in trouble. They are in trouble. They don't have an answer for the speed of the Oilers right now. They don't have an answer for Connor McDavid, but nobody does.
No, there's
not. You can't be expected to.
I mean, McDavid didn't even have that. Like, he didn't have the McDavid game that we've been used to.
Only two assists.
Right. So, I mean, what
only a multi-point night.
But that's the thing. Like, then all of a sudden, here's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has entered the chat.
Yep.
Like, I forgot he was on that team, and then he gets two big goals.
And I also think, as putty as he is, we can't ignore what Evander Kane is doing. And I think it's...
Can't we, though?
Can't.
I know. Yeah. I think it's taking away from him to say, well, he's just got a stick on the ice and McDavid's making it happen. It's partial, but he's got 11 freaking goals in the postseason.
He's been great, but can we just knock off the Evander... This isn't a redemption story for Evander Kane.
A redemption story...
Another reminder that if you're really good at your sport, we'll forget about the awful things you do in your personal life and let you make money to play a sport. That's what this is. So, yeah, he's been amazing for the Oilers. He's been exactly what that team needed. I mean, but I can't root for the guy. You can, you know, all the things, all the off-ice stuff. It's not even to do with the allegations in his personal life, which are, if are true, are just awful. But the guy's been a terrible teammate his whole career. Yeah. That's fact. I mean, Dustin Byfuglien in the tracksuit incident in Winnipeg, he wears out his welcome everywhere he goes. So, you know, now he's having this great playoff run. So some GM is going to go out and give him a 3-year contract, and in a year and a half is going to be buying him out again.
Yeah.
Nobody learns their lesson. But I guess if he gets them to a Stanley Cup final, I guess in Ken Holland's mind it was worth it. And maybe it is, because that's his job, is to put together a team that wins hockey games. But let's enough with the Evander Kane redemption stories, the Tony D'Angelo redemption stories. Can we just say these are bad story, guys having good games?
A redemption story to me, and we're going to get to our Hawks evaluations here in a minute, but a redemption story to me is a guy has a mental health issue or a substance abuse right. problem, overcomes, comes back, and returns to all-star form.
Or an injury.
It's not, I was a penis, and now I'm good at hockey again. Right. That's not redemption. You're recovering from self-inflicted wounds, right? You've chosen to be an a-hole as a teammate and as a person.
Scott Darling was a redemption story. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah. That is the correct use of redemption story.
That is a redemption story. A guy that drank himself to the bottom of the barrel and then somehow got back to the NHL.
Climbed back.
Winning NHL Stanley Cup playoff game. Mm-hmm. That's a redemption story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Evander Kane scoring goals in the playoffs. It's not a redemption story.
A redemption story has to
somebody learns come a lesson.
With,
in
yes,
a redemption
has
story.
Has to come with
Vander
a lesson
Kane
learned.
Is not learning a lesson here.
A lesson learned, humility, some self awareness,
admittance that you were wrong. And none of that is happening.
Haven't seen it with Evander Kane. Haven't seen it with Tony D'Angelo.
Because they keep getting more and more chances because they're good at what they do.
Reeves was going after him last night again too.
One of the few times I'm like, hey, Ryan Reeves, cool.
I started liking him after he left the Blues. I don't know what happened. It's weird.
Ryan Reeves is a really good guy off the ice.
Yeah.
He does a lot of great things in the various communities that he's played for.
He's a player you like on your team.
Right. I
31 other team fan bases hate him a year.
Yeah, he's a really good guy, but he does some stuff that I don't like, but you know, I wouldn't mind knowing that he's got my back if I needed to get into a fight.
For sure.
That'll work.
So, absolutely. You
know, he's got his redeeming qualities. Yeah. You know, I don't necessarily like it, but you know what? I'll take a Ryan Reeves over Evander Kane any day.
There you go.
Based on human being.
Sure.
He got me on when he was in Vegas. He put on they have like a statue of a knight in the hallway, and he put on the costume, and then as people walked by, he would jump out at him. He was doing that, and then the other night he did a WWE style announcing of the starting lineup for the Rangers.
Oh, nice!
Just screaming at the top of his lungs. It was awesome. So yeah. Good teammate.
Was it Reeves and Kane that had a beef a few years ago?
No, it was Byfuglien and Kane.
No. Didn't Ryan... I thought Ryan Reeves and Evander Kane, San Jose-Vegas series. Am I misremembering that?
Through the internet.
Probably right. I mean, listen, if you're going to play...
I thought they went back and forth.
Okay, there's a 5-minute and 31-second video on YouTube called Ryan Reeves versus Evander Kane, Every Hate Moments.
All right, let's watch it.
There is. All right. Dial it up.
So, I'm going to go ahead and
we got
say
time
yes.
To go. We'll do our ad reads over the video.
Yeah.
It'll be Don Cherry 6 or whatever it would be.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
So, I mean, hey...
Yeah.
Maybe they well, they rekindle their rivalry in the cup final. Who knows?
That'd be fun.
I would have no problem watching Evander Kane get his comeuppance.
And remember, if the Oilers make it to the cup final, that third round pick for Duncan Keith becomes a second
as long as
he's
top four.
Four.
Yeah.
In ice time.
Look right.
He should be pretty close to that.
He's there.
I can't imagine he's not.
I think he's fourth right now.
Yeah, walked last night, by the way. Ooh,
that's been known to happen.
He is.
He's not
that good anymore.
47 years old. What do you want from the guy?
No, the guy's played a lot of hockey at a very high rate of performance. Eventually, you know, the wheels aren't going to work like they used to. But that's Edmonton's problem now.
Miles on Duncan Keith.
All right. Hey, we hope you're enjoying the show. I know it was off to a bit of an emotional start, but that's the guys we are. We keep it real. Left Eye Chili and T-Boz here. We always tell the truth. We always say what's on our minds, and we're going to do that as the show goes on. So thanks for sticking with us here. But the best way to support CHGO is to download that PointsBet app and make sure you use that promo code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you're going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. but you're also going to get a 50, well, with a $50 or more, see, I go off script and look what happens.
Come on.
if you make a $50 or more first time deposit,
there we go.
You're going to receive a free CHGO membership that'll unlock all of our great web content. Got a lot coming this week. You'll even get a free shirt of this, of your choice from the CHGO locker, like mine right here. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. Introducing PointsBet's new feature, live NBA same-game parlay. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA same-game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game, and if you want more, you can always boost your live same-game parlays. Reminder, online sign-up is available now in Illinois. Get out your phone, download the PointsBet app. You're good to go in minutes. Very, very easy. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
And if you want to start your day with a competitive edge, guess what? Strava CBD coffee is that competitive edge, and it's helped thousands of people to improve their overall wellness and quality of life. Strava delivers delicious, fresh-roasted specialty coffee infused with organic, broad-spectrum CBD. The CBD from hemp doesn't make you high or hungry, but it does offer you a wide array of health benefits, including making you feel more alert and focused without the jitters. You're going to be able to live your day more balanced with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains. And my God, that is a godsend.
Sounds good.
Plus, including CBD in your daily routine can even help you enjoy a more restful night's sleep so you wake up feeling your best. And the best part is Strava is all about quality. Everything is small batch, fresh. So if you're a big coffee person, Strava is delicious. And plus, you get all the benefits from concentrated full-spectrum CBD. And you get to save 25% just from listening to this podcast. CHGO listeners, enter the promo code CHGO25 at checkout, and they will take 25% off your entire order. That's a quarter off the price just by using that promo code CHGO at StravaCraftCoffee.com. That's S-T-R-A-V-A. And if you're already a big fan of Strava, and if you're not, what are you waiting for? You can subscribe and save with the Strava Craft Coffee Club. That's where they put you in control. You get to save on all your favorite flavors and concentrations of coffee. And then you tell them when you want it and where you want it shipped to, and they make it happen. And you save money. It doesn't get any easier than that. So please check out our friends at StravaCraftCoffee.com. You will not regret it.
I looked it up. Duncan Keith, third on the team in defensive ice time. Right. Just excellent. About 19 and a half minutes.
So we need to know. We know for sure it's defensive ice time and not overall ice time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's good.
So okay. If the Oilers win one more game, and Tyson Barrie doesn't play like 30 minutes and Duncan Keith gets benched, I think we're in a good spot.
I think so, too. All right.
Well, unfortunately, they're going to probably have to play the Avalanche in the next round. So
We'll worry about that when we get there.
Wait, was it third round or cup final?
Cup final.
Yeah. Oh.
So there's a gigantic hurdle still in the way.
So they need five more wins.
Yeah,
gotcha. Not Thomas hurdle.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
Well done. Well
should played. I leave? Should I go
Teenage
out?
Teenage Mutant that Ninja perfect. Hurdle. That's an appropriate reference.
Look at the shirt. Yeah, that's good. Yes.
With Chili shirt over here. We're pop culture, man. That's all we are now.
We are on top of it.
We are on top of 1995
TLC and Teenage Mutant Ninja. We are what the kids call with it.
Hey, don't go chasing waterfalls, all right?
Yes, exactly.
Have you guys seen that new movie called Swingers?
Swingers, yeah.
They
yeah.
make some hockey references.
Oh, Lord. We are old folks. All right, it's time for our second week of evaluations. We're going to do Riley Stillman and Dylan Strome today to keep you listening. And we're going to do Dylan Strome last. That's an old radio trick.
Gotcha.
Our grading system, if you missed last week, instead of letter grades, we give feathers. So an A is 4 feathers, a B is 3 feathers, a C is 2, a D is 1, and so on. We also have half feathers because we were feeling a little somewhere on the line between the two. We can do that as well. So let's start with Riley Stillman, taking a look at his statistics for this year. 52 games with the Hawks, 2 goals, 10 assists. That's 12 points for those that can't math. He was a -8, 0 power play impact because he never played in a power play. 49 shots, 4.1% shooting percentage, and a 1504 ice time average. His Corsi 4 percentage was 39.2. Oof. Expected goals 4 percentage, 41.81. Both bad on that term. I gave him two feathers. My main reason was that after last season, I was very optimistic about Stillman. I really thought that they had found a piece in a trade that was more about Henrik Borgstrom than Riley Stillman. He sort of came in here, surprised a bunch of people, played physically, was really a dependable defender, and we did not see that from him this year. The physicality sort of went away. He did not seem to play with the same intensity that he had played with in the prior season, and for him to be an effective defenseman, He needs to play with that edge. He needs to play with that style. And as we were talking about, like with Jacob Trouba earlier today, some players need that edge to stay competitive. Riley Stillman was not the same guy when he took the physical aspect of his game away. And if he's going to become one of the Hawks' top six defensemen, which I think at this point he is, basically just out of default, right? Yeah. If he's going to keep that job, he's going to have to bring that physicality every night, and I was disappointed to see how little physicality he played with this year.
I think he battled some injuries this year.
Yeah.
But for me, I gave him 1.5. I know the graphic looks like I gave him 2 halves, but it's just how the feathers look. it's 1.5 because I had expectations, like you said, Jay. Like he set himself up from last season to this past season with some expectations to be a regular top six contributor and be a physical presence, someone who could mix it up and you know, bring that aspect of the game to the Blackhawks. And it really, it wasn't up to the billing. And I think for me to go from 2 to 1.5 was towards the end of the season, he was one of the rotating out defensemen. And going into next season, you know, in my head, when I'm thinking, okay, Calvin Nahan's not going to be here. Eric Gustafson's not going to be here. That opens up 2 spots. When I do that like thought process in my head, Riley Stillman is not one of the first players I think of when I'm like, who's going to fill those 2 spots next season in the blue line? And that's a disappointment from what I expected of him this season. And I think it's probably, I don't want to speak for the organization, but it probably is in line with where they see him too, because they gave him a very team-friendly extension as a young player to come in here and be like, hey, you're going to be like our number 5, number 6 defenseman. We want you to be, a young defenseman that can grow their game in Chicago and become, a legit everyday top 6 NHL defenseman. And I haven't seen it yet. And this, like I said, the season he had some injury issues. It could have played into the decrease in physicality in his game, which sets him apart from some other players with Chicago. But I think when he got to the end of the season and he was one of the rotating out defensemen, I don't know if he has done enough. We'll see what the roster looks like going into next season, but I don't know if you can pencil him into the lineup and out of that rotation of defensemen going into next year.
He's got 2 years left at $1.35 million. Will become an arbitration eligible player at the end of the 2023-24 season. So, yeah, that is a team-friendly deal for a guy you thought was going to be an impact player this year, and he just wasn't. Greg?
Yeah, I gave him a two feathers for a lot of the same reasons. He's a guy that for a good portion of the first half of the season, you were like, okay, we got a guy here. Like, this is a third-pairing defender going forward. But by the end of the season, we're still saying the same things about Riley Stillman that we did last year. We don't really know what we got in him. Yeah, he'll be here next year because he's under contract. But with all these young defensemen coming up, he's a guy that unless he picks it up is going to get pushed out of that lineup.
Yep.
Two things that reasons why I gave him 2 and not a lower grade He did have 67 block shots, career high. Also set a career high with 122 hits. Those are the types of things he needs to do to stay in this lineup and be productive. Now, we mentioned, you guys both mentioned the injury. He got hurt on January 21st. Shoulder injury, I believe it was.
Yes.
And then kept him out until March 3rd. So he missed a good five, almost 6 weeks. And when he came back, he wasn't the same player.
No. And that's understandable.
When you're dealing with a shoulder injury, yeah. You know, six weeks is not enough. Right. You're not going to go out there and risk injury again and miss time again. And it definitely changed his game. And, you know, it got in his head, I think, a little bit to not be as physical as he was. And that's his best aspect. That's the aspect of his game that makes him an effective player. Are the hits, are the block shots. And there were too many times when he came back from that injury and sometimes before that, when the Hawks got hemmed in their own zone for like a minute and a half and it ended with either a goal against or a penalty against, it seemed that number 61 was part of that. And there were a lot of times where I compared him to skating in a blender. He was just going around in a circle, had no idea what he was supposed to do. And eventually there's, you know, two or three golden scoring chances against his goalie. And when we had Marc-Andre Fleury, you can get away with that sometimes. But when you got Kevin Lankin and Colin Delia, it's a goal against nine times out of 10. So he's got to improve. There's a foundation there for him to be a solid NHL third pairing defenseman, but they're not there on a nightly basis. So, you know, he's here next year because he's under contract. Prove that you're worth those 2 years. Prove that you could stay in this lineup. If he can't prove that he could stay in this lineup next year when Calvin DeHaan and Eric Gustafson, trusted veterans, aren't here, then you got a problem.
Yeah, he's going to have competition for his roster
spot.
Absolutely,
which is good. Everybody in that back end, except for, you know, Jones and Murphy, are going to have competition. At least it should. They should be. Yep. And he shouldn't feel safe in his job, because the second he feels safe in his job, it's all downhill.
All right, now we're going to move on to one guy who seemed to be in the headlines almost every podcast we did towards the end of the season. That's Dylan Strome, 69 games for the Hawks this year.
Nice.
Thank you. Nice. 22 goals, 26 assists. That's 48 points. Minus six, pretty good on the Hawks. Yeah, five power play goals, 11 power play assists, 16 power play points, 126 shots on goal, a 17.5 shooting percentage. He averaged 17.26 of ice time per game. Corsi 4, 48.9. Fenwick 4, 49.5. Expected goals for 48.87%.
I hated that school.
So
we're the Red Sox play, right?
When you look at the numbers and like the advanced stats, those are actually pretty good for the Hawks, because they pretty much lost the possession battle in every game they played. Even in the wins, they would usually be at the back end of the possession thing. So to have Strome right around 50% is pretty solid. Article came out yesterday for The Athletic from Mark Lazarus. A source says the Hawks are not planning on bringing him back. That, to me, is a mistake. Yeah. I don't know. Look, I know you want to rebuild. I know you've got you want to be bad to be higher up in the draft next year. But who's going to play center? You've got to have guys that can play on this team. And we were talking about it the other day. They just don't have any center depth at all. We don't think Kirby Dach's a center. We don't know, if Lucas Reichel is going to be ready to go. He's not hurt, but is he NHL ready game one next year? Probably, but we don't know that for sure. But if he is he a center? Is he your number two center behind Jonathan Toews? That's a tough ask. You look at the Ice Hogs, it's Evan Barrett who's been a disappointment, and
Josiah Slavin.
They have so many guys who are tweener centers, too.
Yeah, that's not a position of depth with this team, and especially if you remove Strome and potentially remove Toews going into next season,
Oh
my gosh. Like you literally have almost nothing. And I like you said, the plan's not to win a ton of games next season. But you gotta have some players
to be competitive.
You know, you have to be able to field a roster that can compete at the NHL level and not be, you're not going to have, Patrick Kane, Seth Jones, and the kids. Like, right. You need to have some serviceable players. And Dylan Strome has proven that he's more than serviceable. He's still young in the NHL. I believe he's had two good seasons with the Blackhawks, good enough to say, he's worthy of being around. He's worthy of playing in a top six role. He is an effective center in the right situations. I think Derek King did a good job of throughout the season finding the right way to utilize and to coach Dylan Strome that Jeremy Colleton couldn't do.
Or unwilling to do.
And the trio of DeBrincat, Strome, and Kane was the offensive catalyst of the team this last season. And Kane and DeBrincat are two players that potentially could stick around in Chicago through the rebuild. And I think if you're looking to say who are, as far as forwards go, who are big names that you can theoretically imagine being around when the team is ready to compete again, Alex DeBrincat, Patrick Kane, and Dylan Strome.
That's it.
That trio is really the top three that you can think of.
Yep.
So I don't think letting Dylan Strome go when all you have are his negotiation rights, like you don't have him under contract. You're gonna say for the people who say, oh, his value is at his highest it's ever been. Sure,
it's
but
not that great.
I don't even know that's
what
true
are you,
either.
Trading negotiation rights gets you nothing. Yeah. Like unless it's
you're getting a late round pick.
Unless you're gonna do like, oh, we signed him and then we're gonna trade him. Like sure, you can figure that out. But I don't know. I don't think the right move is to let him go for nothing.
Yeah.
But I also don't think if you're going to move him, you are in a situation to move him to capitalize on what his return value could be.
Yeah.
If he was under contract.
Well, I gave him three feathers for my evaluation, and I'm the Russian judge on this one. I think the only reason is, as critical as we were of Colleton and early on of Derek King for not playing him, there were reasons he wasn't playing. He was not competing hard every night. He was not committed to all three zones, you know what I mean? And that sort of came in sort of like after maybe the first month of Derek King being here, Strome started to find what it took to stay in the lineup every night and to stay on that top line. I also sort of bristle when everyone's like, well, he can't produce unless he's with Kane and DeBrincat. Who are the other Hawks that produce without Kane and DeBrincat?
Right.
None. Nobody. Right. So those are the guys on the team that score.
There's not many guys that are going to be able to produce with Mackenzie Entwistle and Reese Johnson on your
exactly.
line.
Right. Like, exactly.
It's not
so,
going to happen.
Overall, very happy with Strome's season. I think he can be his biggest enemy at some times where maybe he loses interest, maybe he loses commitment in the defensive zone a little bit, and that's why the Hawks right now might be a little hesitant to give him another contract because maybe Derek King's the guy that can get the best out of him because he's just like, okay, buddy, like, you know, give you a hug. You know, let's make sure we're playing hard today. And if Derek King is not their coach necessarily, he might be. We don't know. But I don't know. I still think regardless of his inconsistency, he should be brought back. But that's why I gave him a B and not an A because I just think there were too many games where he was a complete non-factor. And as much as we were critical of Jeremy Colleton, there was some validity to that. There were days where Dylan Strome, you forgot he was on the team. Yeah. And he's got – when those are less frequent, he's a much better player, a much more consistent player. And that is sort of the last piece to his NHL puzzle is finding that consistency where he's the same reliable player every night. And when he does that, he's definitely going to be worth the $4 million plus he's going to sign.
Yeah,
I gave him 3.5. And I based my grades, and I'm doing these grades kind of not just on the overall performance, but more like weighing what my expectations were for the player heading into the season and then what the results were.
True.
And I had no expectations for Dylan Strome heading into this season. I didn't even think he was going to be on the opening night roster, to be honest with you. When he made the opening night roster, I was surprised. I thought he was going to be traded in the summer. I didn't think he was even going to be here. And I'm going to give him a ton of credit for what he went through to where he finished the season with 22 goals, career high. He was a pro. He could have easily taken the social media. He could have easily moaned and cried and demanded a trade.
Checked out.
But he didn't. He stuck with it. And Derek King instilled some confidence in him. And here's the stat that jumps out the most at me when I look at Dylan Strome, besides the improvement at the faceoff dot, 52.3% faceoffs, first time over 50% in his career. He was like 47-48% career average. So to make that jump,
yeah,
that's remarkable. Great job. But here's the stat that really jumps off to me, and I think this has got a lot to do with Derek King. 67 takeaways this year, career high. And King said many times that Strome needed to learn the reason why he wasn't playing. He's great when he's out there with DeBrincat and Kane, but he needs to be better when he away from the puck.
Mm-hmm.
67 takeaways, career high. That shows me he put in the effort to be better when he doesn't have the puck. So those are the types of improvements, the faceoffs, the takeaways, the things that don't get you the glory, but you got to be able to do to win hockey games. And that showed me that Dylan Strome was dedicating himself to becoming more than just Alex DeBrincat's center. You know, and riding his coattails, that he wanted to be a more complete player. And he showed it for a lot of that second half of the season. So that's why I gave him 3.5 stars. The progression from opening night to the final night of the season was tremendous from Dylan Strome. Does he have his flaws? Absolutely, sure. 100%.
Yes.
Should he, you know, and again, with the whole, we can debate all summer, and we probably will, validity, if he should be here or not. Yes. I would have zero issues with Dylan Strome coming back. There's a lot. To me, there's more pros to having Dylan Strome on your team than cons.
Certainly.
If he's not the type of player that fits Kyle Davidson's vision, he doesn't want him here because that's not, then that's his job. So if he feels that, if he's not just trading him for the sake of trading him, well, I can get an asset. I can get a fourth round pick for his negotiation. Right? But if he literally says, hey, I've watched Dylan Strome's game. Yes, he's a good player, but he's not the type of player that I envision my team being successful with. Then move him. I have got no problem with that. I would like to keep him. He's still at that age where I don't think he's played the best hockey of his career yet. And I'm selfish. I would like him to play the best hockey of his career in a Blackhawks uniform.
It'd be nice.
I think that's fun.
Yep.
But if Kyle Davidson doesn't agree, then that's his job to make those decisions. Yep. So right now, I'm giving Kyle Davidson the benefit of the doubt. He's earned that. What else do we have to do? We can't start screaming that he's terrible when he's barely gotten his, you know, roll up his sleeves yet. Right. So I'd be disappointed if Dylan Strome is not here next season. But if it's part of the master plan and the vision that Kyle Davidson's putting in, then I got to trust it.
Yeah. The Hawks have 9 players on their roster with center experience. Taves, Johnson, Borgstrom, Tyler Johnson. Doc, Reese Johnson, mm-hmm. Kurashev, Entwistle, Lafferty, and Kara. Mm-hmm. How many of these are actual centers?
1.5.
Taze.
I think Taze and Strome.
Strome. Tyler Johnson.
Maybe. But
it seems like Kurashev is going to be a wing.
Yeah.
Entwistle is going to be a wing. I think Lafferty played mostly wing.
Yep.
I'm on the train that Kirby Doc's future is at wing.
And let's face it, all those, besides Strome and Taves, all those guys you mentioned have center experience, not because they're good at it, because they had no one else to put there. Hey, kid, go take a face-off. Let's see if you can win.
Tyler Johnson was pretty consistently a center.
In Tampa?
Right? Tampa, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think at this point of his career, he's better at a wing.
He can
be trusted there.
Yeah, he can be trusted to play center consistently. But he's effective at wing as well when he's put there. But I think if you go into a season and Tyler Johnson's your third line center, that's not bad.
It's not.
But it definitely depends on who's 1 and 2.
Right. Who's
if he's
two,
your though. Second line center, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, he started the season with DeBrincat and Kane and seemed to be effective in the first couple of games.
Playing with DeBrincat and Kane.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Yeah. Maybe, you know, if the Blackhawks want to give me a tryout.
10 points in a season with
If the Blackhawks want to give me a tryout, I will demand to play between DeBrincat and Kane. It's going to be a very small line, but
I'm just going to skate to the front of the net and let the puck hit me.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the Artemisimov's plan.
I also gave Dylan Strome 3.5. A lot of the same reasons that Greg laid out, because the expectations for him, I had hoped that he would have a bounce back year. Midway through the season, it looked like that was not going to be the case, but he did start to improve when he was given the right opportunities to do so, and he ran with it, and he really seemed to start to round out his game a little bit. I know we. You know, talk about confidence a lot with players like Kirby Doc and Dominic Kubalik. Dylan Strome was another one that I think he just needed confidence. He needed a change, a positive change in confidence in himself, and I think he also had to get it from the coaching staff. And he wasn't getting that at the beginning of the season. So I think a lot of that impacted the change in his game and a little bit of the rounding out in his game that we saw this season. So I was very happy with the year that he ended up having. I said it before. I think he should be back, but we'll see what happens this summer.
Design Love in the chat brings up a good point. He says, "I think the issue with Strome is that if he does not play line 1 minutes, is he any good?" That's the question now. And one thing we know, just based on the moves he's made so far, Kyle Davidson likes players that are flexible and versatile. Like Radish can play on all four lines. Kachuk, maybe not as much, but you get my point.
Sam Lafferty.
Tyler Johnson can go up and down. Sam Lafferty can go up and down. You know, players like that are very helpful. Dylan Strome does have to basically be a top six guy to serve any sort of purpose at all. That said, though, they don't have a lot of options. Unless Kyle Davidson is flat out convinced that starting day one next season, Lucas Reichel is the number two center, and if he's sold on that concept, you have to bring Strome back. You can't.
Yeah.
Unless they've got some free agent in mind that we don't know about, which is a possibility. But
Joe Thornton.
Who are you going to find that is right that perfect rebuild candidate? Who are you going to find that is as young and productive as Strome? Yeah, maybe you find someone a little bit cheaper, but I don't know. To me, it feels like not giving him another year or two to prove himself is foolish. Because if he become, I mean, remember, he was a number three overall pick.
And behind Eichel and McDavid.
Sure, right, yeah. Like,
hey, who would you rather have right now, honestly, Dylan Strome or Jack Eichel?
Eichel. Oh, I still think Eichel.
I mean, yes, for a pure hockey performance, yes, but do you want that? Do you want that?
Maybe not for a rebuild, yeah.
Do you want that guy in your locker room?
Not as a rebuilding player,
rolling his
player,
eyes at your goalie? No, yeah. I don't think so.
Not as a rebuilding player.
But here's the thing. Like, I get the argument that, well, he can only play with Kane and DeBrincat. Well, good for him. Kane and DeBrincat are here, so just put him there.
Well, and also,
just
like,
put him there.
Who
else is going to take that spot?
If he centers Doc and Reichel, it's not the end of the world either.
No.
That could be a pretty productive line.
Yeah, he can only play top 6 minutes on a bad team, but you put him on Colorado or Toronto, he'd be a really good third-line center there. It's all about the guy. Yes, he's a guy that plays better with good players around him. So is everybody else in the National Hockey League. Everybody else is going to play better when they got all-star talent around them. So if he can only play with Kane and DeBrincat, then let him play with Kane and DeBrincat and be productive. Why do you need him to play anywhere else?
I'm also not willing to move on from Dylan Strome's new dog, Benny.
Oh, no. Look at that.
This is not something I'm willing to let go of.
I feel like he deserved an extra half feather just for Benny. Come on, Jay.
The story is, if I understand this,
it's his brother. Wrigley's brother.
Yes. Same father.
Wrigley, the dog that passed away, yeah. Wrigley.
Same
this
father.
This is the from the same lineage, and they were going to be
brothers
in the Strome family. Wow. So, Benny, just a very adorable little
dog. I love how the Blackhawks sent Benny a jersey, but Daddy doesn't get a contract.
It's kind of sad.
That would be awkward.
Well, I do encourage, not that we're trying to push other publications, because all CHGO is wonderful, but I think what Mark Lazarus wrote yesterday for The Athletic is there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. So make sure you read that, Hawks fans. But just the fact that they're like, they think they're just going to walk away from Strome.
Yeah, it's
walking away without I know I said, like, oh, what are you going to try?
They said not re-sign, but that's walking away.
Yeah, if they just say, we're not giving you a contract and we're not going to move you even for peanuts, that's the biggest mistake they could make.
Yeah, it's kind of like Calvin DeHaan. Why didn't you get something for him?
Yes. Yeah, that still chaps my ass.
Yeah, so, yeah, and we're not trying to, like, discredit Mark Lazarus. Like, we're just disagreeing with the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
Mark Lazarus is one of the most plugged in guys.
Absolutely.
In Chicago. So if he's saying it, it's most likely true.
He's not making it up.
He's not clickbaiting it. He's got a trusted source. I trust Mark Lazarus when it comes to Blackhawks information. He's one of the best, if not the best, on the beat. So I just disagree with the Blackhawks thinking.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, tomorrow Throwback Thursday. Greg is the the designer, the creative force behind Throwback Thursday. I know where we're going. Mario knows where we're going. Greg, let the good folks know where we're going tomorrow.
Well,
I am excited.
Since we're coming up on the 9th anniversary of these great, great moments, we are going to deep dive and spend most of tomorrow's podcast on the 2013 series between the Chicago Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings.
Woo. Yes.
Of course, the anniversary of the big Brent Seabrook goal and the Nicholas Jarmolson
should have been goal.
Disallowed goal because he took a penalty for allowing himself to get thrown down on the ice.
Yeah. Why would Brandon Saad do that?
Right. So it's crazy. Game was insane. Everybody remembers that goal. But you know what? There were seven intensely interesting games that happened before that Seabrook goal. We're going to tackle that entire series, reminisce, go through it game by game. It's going to be a lot of fun. Throwback Thursday, deep dive.
Cannot
Hawks,
wait.
Hawks, Red Wings. 2013 seven game series should be a good one.
Shout out to my sister-in-law and her husband. It is their wedding anniversary today.
Oh, nice.
I was at their wedding for game five, and I promised my wife, I was like, I will not be on my phone the entire night because they were on the brink of elimination. But I was just like,
the game ended by 9:30, so you did.
Yeah, I did check it a couple times, and I was like, oh. Because her brother's a huge Hawks fan as well. And I was like, hey, they won. And so we had the wedding DJ play Chelsea Dagger, and everyone was just like, oh, they won. Yeah, okay, cool.
That's
and
awesome.
Everyone had a good time. So shout out to them. Happy anniversary.
Yes. Happy anniversary. My anniversary was yesterday. Should have mentioned that.
Hey, there you go.
Happy anniversary to you. Thank you for blowing the horn for us. Nice. We appreciate it. Lawrence, all right, thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll talk to you on Throwback Thursday. Reminder, make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube page. Turn on those notifications so when CHGO Sports goes live, you know and you can watch. The Bears are up next. We've got Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Sky, Red Stars,
Fire.
Every Chicago team that's a pro team is covered. So turn those notifications on.
And CHGO make sure Bets Daily. Don't forget about CHGO Bets Daily.
And, of course, CHGO Bets Daily.
I make some
CHGO
appearances
Weekly
on that.
Podcast.
Just bet against Sean Anderson. You'll be good to go. It's my guy, Sean. I love him.
That's my wind guy.
He'll bounce back.
That's the guy that makes my hair blow in the wind. He's my guy.
There you go.
Yes, it's true. He's your wind technician.
He's my personal fan guy.
And, of course, become a member at allchgo.com. Get access to our great written content. Our Discord channel, you get a free t-shirt for signing up. Go to allchgo.com for more info. For Mario and Greg, I'm Jay. We'll talk to you on Throwback Thursday tomorrow at 11 a.m. on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.